to WSHID's special ongoing program with me, Dr. D. I am noted podiatrist and phlebotomist, and this is my show, What Happened to Your Foot? However, tonight we are going to take a little bit of a detour away from your beautiful feet to spend an hour discussing a very hot topic indeed, masks. Should we wear them? Should we not wear them? Do they make us safer or less safe? Did our forefathers write in the Constitution that we had the protection against surgical mask tyranny? And what is that smell when I put on the mask? So many bad breaths out there. I'm going to try and navigate through that, if you will. So many more important questions we will answer. But first, let me introduce my guests. We have two opposing viewpoints from people on the street. Our goal tonight is to have very calm, rational conversation around masks and the practice of wearing them or not wearing them, if you choose. Our first guest is Karen Moskowitz, an essential oil salesperson and an internet activist. Karen believes that we are suffering from mass mind control by being asked and then forced to wear masks. Karen, what say you? What's wrong with your foot, and what do you think about the masks?
What I want to say is we the people will work day and night to clean every single seat, if need be. We will get together and do a citizen's arrest on every single human being that goes against the freedom of choice, okay? You cannot mandate, you literally cannot mandate somebody to wear a mask knowing that that mask is killing people. It literally is killing people. And we the people, are waking up, and we know what citizen's arrest is, because citizen's arrests are already happening, okay? And every single one of you that are obeying the devil's laws are going to be arrested. And you, doctor, are going to be arrested for crimes against humanity. Every single one of you have a smirk behind that little mask, but every single one of you are going to get punished by God. You cannot escape God. You cannot escape God. I'm going to say that again. You cannot escape God, not even with the mask or 6 feet, okay? 6 feet, like I said before, is military protocol. You're trying to get the people to train them so when the cameras, the 5G comes out, what? They're gonna scan everybody. We gotta get scanned. We gotta get temperatured. The kids have to go to school with masks. Are you insane? Are you crazy? I think all of you should be in a psych ward right the heck now, because none of you know what the hell you are all talking about.
Karen, this is a very well thought out position, and I appreciate your point of view. Let's take a quick commercial break, and we allow everyone to take their medicine. We'll be right back after these words.
In early 2020, the world shut down. Stores, restaurants, schools, and whole communities shut their doors in an effort to protect human life. As the world quickly changed, one man went on Facebook to get a degree in internet epidemiology. Brian, along with his lab assistant Hoatley, are curing coronavirus by commenting on fake news and reposting recipes of secret virus cures from a friend of a friend who works high up in government. Join Brian and Hoatley as they discuss the world and life during this forced interruption. Learning, laughing, and loving in this real-life commercial break. On this episode of The Commercial Break.
Yeah, it's like, an internet hug is a like,
yes.
But an internet kick in
is
the
a bad comment.
Is
yeah, when
comment.
I'm 100% positive that you never listened to the show.
Right. And he wrote G-O-O-D, good, so he did well with good. And then he wrote M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. And I was like,
good morning, like he was in Australia?
Yes.
Or like he was in mourning.
Hey, everyone, it's Brian. I want to take a few minutes before the show. As you may or may not know, Hoatley and I are taking a few weeks off in July. I'm currently in rehab for huffing paint thinner, and Hoatley, of course, is leading a Scientology retreat on the Appalachian Trail. Oh, and my wife is giving birth, so I'm probably fucking sleeping right now. But don't let your hearts be troubled. We recorded a few hours of the show, so you have fresh episodes while we're gone. But if you hear something that sounds a little dated, now you know why. Make sure you go to tcbpodcast.com to join the break room. We will send out a newsletter starting in late July with behind-the-scenes updates, access to live shows when we do them, and an hour of extra content not available anywhere else. So go to tcbpodcast.com to join the break room. Hope you're enjoying this Summer of Love 2020, and we look forward to getting back to the show in just a few weeks. Now, take it away, Mr. Announcer Man.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, there you go. You look sultry.
Why, thank you.
Are you drinking? What is that? What do you have in your hand?
It's a little Cabernet.
Oh, yeah?
It's a little red cab.
Are you and Jeff getting frothy tonight? Is it a frothy Thursday night?
It's always a frothy Thursday night.
When you guys, so I'm curious because I don't drink anymore, and that's just because I'm too fucking old to drink. I'm too old and I have small children. So if I drink, it's just all over, right? I'm going to be hungover and your kids wake you up and they bang you in the head and it's just like it never fucking ends. So adding drunkenness to that, I just don't think is a wise idea because I'm afraid I'll go to jail or my child will be taken away by Child Protective Services. So when you and Jeff...
Good call.
Yeah. So when you and Jeff hang out for the night, do you guys get like really frothy or is it just a pen?
It just depends, really. I mean, yeah, we're social drinkers, and we like to be social with each other.
So. Oftentimes, I went into the night drinking, fully expecting that it was just going to be an easy night, right? I'd be like, let me crack open a beer. I'm going to watch my 600-pound life or whatever, you know, shitty show that I'm going to turn on TLC. And I'm going to have one or two beers, and then I'm going straight to bed. And then 14 and a half beers and the drug dealer later... it's like, it was Thursday and now it's Monday morning and I got to go to work and I'm hoping the drug dealer's going to answer my phone call again. Does it spin out of control like that on a Thursday night during the pandemic or is it much more controlled because you're like, you know, I'm not sure the drug dealer's going to show up. You might have COVID.
No, I don't want to do the drugs from the drug dealer because of COVID.
Good for you. Yeah. You're quarantined sober. Welcome to the commercial break. TCBpodcast.com is where you go to listen to all the episodes, read the show notes, and find out more about us. You can drop us a line and we'll respond. Every couple of months, we'll do a show. We'll respond to emails and comments, good and bad. I'm not going to let us off the hook on this. And there's plenty of bad because people hide behind their little internet box and they make shitty little fucking comments that ruin my entire night.
Yeah, it's like, you know, an internet hug is a like, but yes. an internet kick in the balls
is a bad comment.
Is a bad comment.
Yeah, when I'm 100% positive that you never listen to the show. Like, you're just basing this on an Instagram post. So if you subscribe to on your favorite podcast platform, you won't miss any of the episodes. And leave us a review. It's like a podcast hug. Also, if you'd like to be on the show in a future episode, you'd like to be, we have a phone line here. So I can barely work the equipment as it is, but we're going to try and get complicated and put some people on the air. And who knows what's going to happen. Could be random, roll the dice. Like, I'm not a phone screener, so if someone just dials up and we're just going to get what we get, Chrissy, and pray to God that they say something nice about us. But if you leave us your phone number in the comments section of the Contact Us page, we will let you know how you can call in and when you can call in. And then if you drop us a line and tell us you want to be on our newsletter, we will send you out a free, no charge episode of the commercial break once a month. $19.99 plus $19.99 shipping and handling. Call now.
If you call an order now, though, it'll just be zero.
Yeah, it'll be zero. I'm going to give you this episode you're listening to now for free, but I'm going to add an extra episode for free if you call now. And so, good. Well, welcome back. I'm super excited to be here. The imminent date approaches as my wife gets more pregnanter and pregnanter. And, you know... It's a
TikTok.
It's an interesting time to be thinking about having a baby. It's an interesting time to know that in just days away, there's going to be a new child in this world, and I'm going to have to be at an epicenter of sickness at the hospital. So I'm freaking out. I'm more freaked out about my wife's having a C-section. So I'm more freaked out about the C-section part of this than I am about the coronavirus part of this, because I learned recently, and by recently I mean yesterday, and by yesterday I mean this morning, that when they cut someone open to take a C-section, they're actually, you know, grabbing the baby out of the womb.
Yes.
That's just as gory and intense as it sounds, right? They're going to cut my wife open and then grab the baby from the womb and then put some stuff on the table, and then they'll put the stuff back in the table, and then they'll sew her back up.
So yeah, they go through the muscle and everything.
Yeah, thanks. I didn't know that part, but there you go. There's more added
trauma. Well, they have to get in there.
They do. They have to get in there. So my wife went to the doctor today, and they're continuing this explanation. They kind of ease you into it, right? Is they, like, week 28, they tell you, oh, yeah, no worries, a couple weeks, and you'll be back up on your feet. We'll give you great pain medicine. Everything will be fine. But then every week as you approach closer, they give you more and more detail on exactly how this is all going to go down. And they just gave her the full shebang today, and she came back and detailed it in full gory report style. And I'm like, oh, shit. Ooh. Yeah, I'm not totally opposed to blood and guts, but I don't do great with blood and guts. So basically what I'm trying to tell you.
If you do, you might be a different kind of person.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of people out there, like doctors and surgeons, who just seem to handle it just fine. But I guess it's part of their job. But I still think you have to have a certain kind of mentality to do that job. Let me tell you a quick funny story. I'm working at a Chili's. I'm like 22 years old. And there's a guy that's working at these Chili's, and he is in the PhD program at Emory to be a doctor. A doctor. Okay. Let me repeat that. He's at the PhD program of a school called Emory here in Atlanta to be a fucking doctor.
Very prestigious school.
Very prestigious school. He's going to be a doctor. Just so you got that point in the story. We are driving down a very busy road here in Atlanta after catching some lunch on a break. And in front of us, about 200 yards, a car T-bones another car. And when it T-bones that car, I mean, it's bad. You know it's bad. We saw it and we heard it and we knew it was bad and it was bad. And nice. So we stop probably about 200 feet from this, as a lot of other people saw it too. And the guy reaches over to the glove box, opens the glove box, and there is like a crash kit, right? Like a, you know, gauze and gloves and
emergency.
All this other, emergency crash kit. And I'm like, shit, yeah, this guy's going to step in and he's going to be a fucking superhero here. I'm going to really see what this man is all about. He's a doctor. And he goes, grab the crash kit, go up and make sure everybody's okay. I'm going to take the car and go drive and find a phone and call 911. And I'm like, what? Wait, what? I'm not the doctor here. You're the doctor here. And he's like, no, you're better equipped at this. I don't do well with blood and guts. And I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. You really just handed me your crash kit and you want me to run down and save somebody out of a crash that just happened? And that's exactly what I did. I went down. I didn't do really anything. I took the keys out of the car to make sure the lady didn't explode. But there was lots of blood coming out of her head. And, you know, we just kind of put some gauze on it. This motherfucker cheapened out. He just went the other direction. So that's here's weird. Here's just to wrap it back all around to my wife's blood and guts.
What have you followed up to see if he's still a doctor?
You know, I don't think he worked at Chili's for like two more days. I think he was so embarrassed because I certainly told that story 250 times afterwards. I was so taken aback by his chicken shitness in the moment. Like some people deal with it, right? Some people have this on and off switch and they just go and they just deal with whatever needs to be dealt with. And then that's it. And they're not heroes. They just have that fight or flight mentality and they fight. They don't fly. Right. And this guy just flew. I mean, he was literally going to find a phone in the next county while I was pretending to be a doctor on the side of the road on Johnson's Ferry.
Well, you are an epidemic.
I am a Facebook epidemiologist. And to bring it all back around, there's going to be lots of blood and guts. They're allowing one person into the hospital. And so I felt like Astrid really needs some womanly support. So I wrote your name down on the guest list. You're there.
I'm good in these situations.
Are you? You like the blood and guts?
I mean, I don't love the blood and guts, but if somebody needs me, if there's a situation that's happening and it's, you know, it's serious, I'm there.
How much do you want? How much do you need to show up at the C-section? Dollar-wise.
A bottle of wine.
Everyone's applauding my bravery.
You're like the doctor that's taking off.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Rachel McGrath was on with us a couple of episodes ago. She has now launched her YouTube channel, See Rachel Cook. Now, the best way to find that is to either go to her IG page, and I'll let her tell you how to do that, or you go to YouTube and you put those words together. C-S-E-E, Rachel, you know how to spell that, Cook, C-O-O-K, in case anybody knows. You put those together, and then you find See Rachel Cook. The channel is incredible. It's already had a lot of success, only two episodes in. I welcome back my good friend, and I guess now, you know, you're my multimedia partner, Rachel McGrath. How you doing?
Welcome,
I'm glad I'm someone's partner, because right now I'm only my cat's partner. So really, I'm a throuple. I'm part of a throuple between me, Zena, and Athena.
What the fuck is a throuple?
Have you ever heard about the thruples?
The thruple is where it's at.
I don't know. Yeah.
Thruple.
Thruples are big.
But wait, if you're gonna find me, yeah, find me. When you're on YouTube, it's C. Rachel Cook Ribeye.
Okay.
C. Rachel Cook Carbonara.
Yeah.
And my name is Rachel McGrath, so you could always Google that. Or on Instagram, it's C. Rachel Cook. Facebook, C. Rachel Cook. Follow me. I will respond to all comments.
I have to say it's R-A-C-H-E-L.
Oh,
I never even thought about the N-E-L. Yeah, the
good for A-E-L. You.
Yeah. Okay, back to the thruple.
Or you could do this. You could just go to tcbpodcast.com in the show notes, which is where it says TCB blog. That's where we put all the show notes. You can go to episode number 10 or this episode number, and you can go there, and we have linked videos and links to all of that stuff. So that's all the way you can go find Rachel and her brand new show, which is a fantastic. I love it. So today, right before we came on, I was like, what's the best way to find, you know, your new channel? So you're not going to rank highly on any particular keyword or anything right. like that, no matter
Damn
how
it.
Popular you are. I know, motherfucker.
Yes. Yeah.
You really
Yet.
Have to be in this game for a long time. It's the same thing with the podcasts. Like, you can put my name with the commercial break, and I am the 333rd person you find. There's literally, like, Captain Cook cereal commercials before you find the commercial break. And Captain Cook cereal hasn't been around since 1982. Google.
Oh my God.
So
I'm gonna have to get naked pictures of the people at Google so that I could just be number one. I'm gonna have to find naked pictures of someone.
We need to threaten someone, because this is unfair. So I went and I just naturally in the search bar was like, see Rachel Cook. And what I figured out very quickly is that there's a lot of Rachel to see, but it's not you. It's Rachel Cook. And so when you put see Rachel Cook, you'll find Rachel Cook, who's an Instagram model / Victoria's Secret model. And there's plenty of her to see, and they show it all over YouTube. So it took me about 26 and a half minutes to find your channel. Not because I wasn't finding it, but because I got distracted by the other see Rachel Cook. So... Just to let you know.
You were seeing. You were seeing.
Well, you
all
of once her. You see her, you want to see more of her. And then you're on the rabbit hole of Rachel Cook.
I am happily married, but there's no harm in looking. And a beautiful woman is a beautiful woman. And Rachel Cook is a very attractive woman. Last time we were here, we got into, and I know your dad's, I'm going to make your dad proud. So hi, Mr. Is it Mr. McGrath? Is that his last name?
Yeah.
Hi,
yeah,
Mr. McGrath.
I haven't changed my name thus far in life. Still the same. And if I ever do get married, I'm still not changing my name.
Good for
Sorry.
You. Amen.
My name is Rachel McGrath, and that's that.
Astrid Always. Changed her name to her maiden name, Green, right? And so I respect the fact that she wants to keep her name. I think that's kind of an old-fashioned tradition, quite frankly, that's a little, I don't think it's important, to be honest with you. No one's looking for anybody to carry on the Green family name, so I don't think it really, and I'm the last hope. My son is it. He's like Luke Skywalker. He's like, you're our only hope. My brothers, they just ain't having kids. And that's kind of sad. I wish that my brothers would have kids, but last time we were here, we were talking about the world of internet dating apps. And I know that people are fascinated about this, because I got a lot of comments.
It's so fun.
What is the, when you're on one of these dating apps, like Whisper or Tandr,
Mumble.
Yeah, or Mumble. Yeah.
I love Mumble.
Mumble is still the best. It's always going to be the best.
I feel like it's the official language of dating apps is Mumble. Hey, what's up? I'm sliding into your DM. It's the same fucker that comments on my Instagram ad. No talkie. So what is the magic? What are the magic words someone has to say? What gets you there? You must have hundreds of guys when you go on one of these apps. You must have hundreds of guys that are out there sliding into your instant message on these apps. What makes the difference? What are you looking for, or what stands out? Is it a funny joke? Is it, you know, a non-dick pic? Like, do you like, is it like they're so randomly not sending dick pics? You're like, oh, I'll take a picture of your face.
Well, first, it's amazing and really quite sad how many men have terrible grammar. So, for instance, if someone would like to give me a compliment and they write Y-O-U-R, pretty, I'm like, out. Out.
See you
later.
The
compliment is completely negated. It's not cool. I don't feel flattered. I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. Like, I now we can never go on a... One time I was dating this stripper who worked at this... Who worked at this strip club called Swinging Richards.
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah, I went in there and I took him off the stage. Just right... I just took him off.
Hey, why not?
And...
You saw the goods.
It's like I wanted to have them.
It's like a produce shop.
And so he texted me like a couple nights after we started hanging out, or a couple mornings, and he wrote G-O-O-D, good. So he did well with good.
Oh, congratulations.
And then he wrote M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. And I was like...
Good morning? Like he was in Australia?
Yeah.
Or like he was in mourning.
Yeah. Well, isn't good morning an oxymoron? I mean, there's no good in mourning,
no.
Right?
By the way, this is clearly, I mean, it makes sense that now he's working at Swinging Richards and not a professor of something at Emory University.
He had other attributes.
Yeah.
Well, he did say he was paying his way through law school, and I'm not even kidding. Even strippers say that. They all say it. I'm just paying my way through school, even though I'm never going to go to school ever.
Never.
Okay, great.
I used to frequent strip clubs, and it's true. It's a trope, but it's a true trope, is that every person that's working at a strip club, male or female, is working their way towards something better. I guess, aren't we all, right? But it's amazing the amount of bullshit that you'll hear when you sit there and they're like, you know, oh, I'm going to be a registered nurse practitioner. And it's like... Oh, are you really?
And they
is
have
that
the nurse
outfit
on,
or the
practice.
Cocaine talking?
Nobody ever is excited about their stripperdom. They're not like, oh, this life is glorious as a stripper. I'm not judging strippers.
No,
I think strippers
no.
are great. I would be a best friend with a stripper if Chrissy wasn't already my best friend and not a stripper. But it's...
yes.
That slot is taken, but you know, it's just
which slot is taken.
That is a point in your life that you don't usually look fondly back upon.
Well, I mean, listen, I used to frequent strip clubs, and I have no shame about it. And
I didn't know this about you.
Oh yeah, I used to go to strip
clubs
all the time.
We all worked at Clear Channel together, didn't we?
Yeah, we worked at Clear Channel.
Wait, were you in like the champagne room getting the
No, I was never. You know, I was always that guy, and this is shameful, right? But I was always that guy who was actually looking for a girlfriend at the strip club. So, I was always that guy that went in like, I'm different. I'm
going to
find a girlfriend at the strip club. And, you know, lo and behold, I did date a few strippers, but it was just always a fucking train wreck. I mean, you know, listen, I had a different idea. It wasn't that I didn't like the, you know, kind of the flash in the pan, have a good night. I did that often. But oftentimes when I go into the strip clubs, I really wanted to befriend the strippers because I felt like I had an angle there. Like, I don't know. For some reason, I just... We went to the Cheetah one night.
The nice guy.
Do you remember?
Yeah, well, you get along well with women, and you have a charisma about you allows you to slide into women's pants. Fuck a DM. Yeah. This was before DM. We went straight into pants.
Not anymore. To be clear about this, I'm happily married.
Yes. That's right.
But Chrissy and I went to the strip club one night for a friend of ours' birthday party, and we all rented this huge like limo, right? The party limo. And there was like 25 of us. And one friend had brought another friend, and he was British. I'm going to do a horrible British accent because I need to pay attention. But he's like, hey, Brian, I just love you, man. You're just fucking crazy. I'm watching you with the women in a strip club, and it's like magic. It's fucking magic, man. You're fucking magic, man. He followed me around all night, literally like, how did you do that? That's fucking intense, man. That's fucking intense. She
Brilliant.
Is literally going to give you her house keys after this night. You're fucking unbelievable. You're fucking magic. He went around complimenting me. Now, later I found out that 16 hits of ecstasy will do that to you. and a trip to the emergency room because of the 16 hits of ecstasy is probably not going to make you look good at the end of the night. But we used to love going to the strip club, and it was a lot of fun. But I always just had this, I don't know, you're right. I was always looking for a friend or something more. And so I was never right. that bad boy just throwing dollars up at the thing. And you know what? I had a lot of respect for girls who dance or guys who dance. That's a great way to make fucking money.
Yeah.
The problem with the strip club is, I think, is that oftentimes it really degrades someone's self-worth because guys are fucking can be. I'm talking about the strip clubs I went to. Guys can be douchebags in the fucking first place. They're sending dick pics unsolicited. So you get a naked girl in front of them. And I just watched too many of the guys that I knew became instantly. I had no respect for him. Zero respect once I saw him at the strip club. And we know, I mean, I can say a few names here on air. I won't, but we know a few guys who they treated girls like absolute shit. And for me, that never felt good. I never felt okay about that part of the strip club, but I do like naked women. And you know, hey, that was a lot of fun.
Well, I feel like you didn't treat the women disrespectfully because naked women also like you. The men who treat women disrespectfully are the ones who can't get a girl in bed. They're mad
True.
At the shit. These men, and I find now with my cooking show, I get all these hilarious and horrible remarks online. And every single time, it's a dude who you know slept with the girl down the street, married her, and now fucking hates his life.
Hates his life. And the reason why he hates his life is because he never knew about how to conduct a proper relationship or have any kind of respect for a woman in the first place.
Right.
And this is what drives me crazy. Like, you look at, I don't know if you know the term incel or involuntarily celibate, right? But there's this whole group of guys out there that identify themselves as incels. And these incels, in some cases, have turned violent. But hey, listen, you know, religious people turn violent. Everybody turns violent. It's not, has nothing to do with incels or involuntarily celibate. But they're just guys that identify as involuntarily celibate. In some of these like chat boards that you can go to on the regular web, let alone the dark web, they're saying horrible things about women. Like, you know, you were born to suck my cock and, you know, go fuck yourself and you'll die and all this other stuff. I think there's a true misunderstanding about like what respect means. And so they think that all women are disrespecting them because they have not yet been laid. But the problem is, my brother, is that until you respect yourself and learn how to respect another human being, you ain't going to get laid. And if you do, it's going to be the one-off and it ain't going to be the na-na-na. Because, man, you can't just sit around and talk about how much you hate women and how they're pieces of meat and how you want to fucking kill them and then expect that anybody wants to go home and go to bed with you. And I think
I want to call the police on them. I'm like, hello, I need some assistance over here.
Yeah, it's a tricky, tricky thing. And I, you know, I understand if you've gone through a dry spell, I can understand just how difficult that is. But then to turn it into like violent rage just to me seems, I don't know, it seems silly. Absolutely.
Yeah, and
silly
those are the guys who always go after the hottest girls.
Oh,
it's
dude,
of course. You're doing it wrong. Let's reevaluate the plan.
100%. So, basically, like, someone who's got a head on their shoulders, it can be the turning point for you, whether or not you pay attention to somebody.
100%. Yeah, absolutely. And I can't believe I'm admitting this right now, but I do happen to love men with long hair who look dirty but smell clean.
Oh, my God, so, you do.
Oh, I fucking love them. So,
oh, yeah.
If I sense that the dirt does not have an odor, that's also... a huge turn. But that's just like for playtime. Right now, I'm told you last time, I'm really trying to concentrate on, you know, getting to know the person. Because for me, there's nothing sexier than thinking someone is kind of okay looking when you first meet them.
Yeah.
And then they open their mouth and you're like, let's
holy
go.
Shit, let's go.
Yes. Yes.
The mind.
That's
it's the mind, the mental. Yes. If you have you know what else really turns me on? A big vocabulary.
Ah.
Oh, I love words because I'm a voiceover artist. I love words. You know, so if you say something just extra to me as far as words, like people could be extra with their words, I'm like, ooh, yes.
I agree.
When you go on a first date, like when you go on a blind date on one of these apps, what are you What are you looking for? Like, what's something that's instantaneously going to turn you on and something that's instantaneously going to turn you off? Is it the dirt that smells that's going to turn you off?
The dirt that doesn't smell, the dirt that does not smell.
Let me give you an indication of the kind of men that Rachel sometimes gets into. My wife and I and a couple of friends are going to go to this, like, I call it a 4-star restaurant here in Atlanta. No. And we're like, hey, Rachel should come along too. So it's me, Chrissy, Jeff, Astrid, and, you know, a couple other people. And we say, hey, Rachel, we invite Rachel. So we invite Rachel to come and she says, I'm going to bring my date. And we say, of course you should bring your date. You know, we haven't met a lot of your dates, so we would
I never bring anyone anywhere.
One of your dates.
I just keep them in my bedroom.
Which they probably don't mind leaving.
Yeah, that's true.
I've met quite a few of your dates.
Chrissy actually met a boy today, earlier, because I went to go look at a house and a boy came.
Oh, a boy came?
A boy came.
You took a boy house shopping?
Very, very cute.
I feel like this is new for you. Are you serious?
Yes, we're being serious, but it's not
that's
serious.
Really happened. This seriously happened. However, the real estate agent was funny because we all showed up and he's like, so this house is for you, Rachel? Rachel's like, yeah, no, it's just for me.
He wanted to know what he was working with.
We brought a party to the real estate joint. But yes, that night at dinner was like the most embarrassing night of my life. Because the one time I bring a boy somewhere, this fucktard just embarrasses me, doesn't say a word, is on his phone the whole time, is just a loser at the table.
Listen, we all rolled with it because we understand that, you know, I am not going to throw stones in a glass house. I have brought plenty of losers to dinner. It was not a reflection on you.
It was no reflection
on you. We just all thought it was pretty funny. The guy comes in and he literally doesn't say hello. It's like, Hey, Bob, whatever your fucking name is, how are you? And he's like, hey, I'm uninterested. How are you?
I'm just here for the carbonara.
Would you guys mind ordering some more appetizers on your bill? Because I'm super fucking hungry.
And that's the night that Chrissy didn't know how much the stone crab was.
Oh, my God. Like, that was fucking hilarious.
I have 500 stone crab claws.
I was like, these things are delicious.
I think we were waiting for Rachel. So we all got there a little bit early and we started drinking. We started imbibing. And I mean, we all must have been 2 or 3 bottles of wine into this before we got sat down at this table. And so the waiter comes up and he says, hello, welcome to Walada Shalalan. Tonight.
Is that how he sounded?
He said, Shalala, welcome.
And he said,
he said, tonight we have a very special. It is called the stone crab. And Chrissy was like, oh my God, stone crab. I love stone crab. And I was like, yeah, stone crab. That sounds good. Okay, how many should you have? And Chrissy looks at me and she's like, are you going to have one? And I'm like, oh, I got to have one. I asked her, are you going to have one? Yeah, she'll have one too. We'll take 12. And he's like, you want 12?
They're small. Yeah. They're small.
Yeah, she asked. She goes, how big are they? And he goes, well, it's a stone crab. It's small. It's the size of a stone. And he goes, it's the size of a stone. And she says, I'll take 12. And literally sat there and we plowed through all 12 snow crabs. She had it for, and then she ordered 3 more for her dinner. Yeah. She's like, I'll take a salad and some more stone crab.
And some more. Like $700 later, we were like, oh my God, the bill is $700.
Y'all, we're splitting this, right?
I was like, we got you.
That was amazing.
It was one of the greatest moments in.
I still love stone crab. I stand behind my stone crab love.
As you should.
As you should.
You knew what you liked, and you didn't care how much that cost.
That's right.
You just wanted it.
You bought that restaurant owner a new house. You stand behind your stone crab.
Oh, my God.
That was incredible. We all met at Clear Channel so long ago now. It's been so many years. And I pondered about this over the last day or so. And I think to myself, how free you are on a podcast or a video. I'm watching your videos and I'm like, you know, we're just so free to do whatever we want and say whatever we want for whatever reason. And I'd like your opinion on this. I always imagined that radio and radio talent would be, I'd walk into that building. I came into it late in life. I wasn't an early radio guy or girl. I mean, literally, I was 33 or 4 when I...
Were you a girl when you walked into someplace else?
Brian, are you...
You have to tune into episode number 112.
For the revelation of
the
year.
As I slowly reveal... My born sex, as they call it. My born gender. Do you feel like you get the respect you deserve as a voiceover artist in that business?
That's a spectacular question. And listen, I know who pays my bills.
Yeah.
It is my radio clients.
Yeah.
And I came in at a time when I wasn't going to take the old school radio model was... Let's have a big, deep voice guy. Boom, boom, 107.2.
107.2, right? The rock.
Boom, the boom.
It's the bomb.
And so when I came into it, I was like, this doesn't seem like it's working. You know, this seems like we should. And all women were just delegated into... Relegated.
Did relegated.
I say delegated? I'm well, drinking
yeah, no,
tonight.
Yeah, no, you're right. Relegated into like
all
the corner.
Were relegated into the, as the station voice, were relegated into just the accent role. And
yeah.
So the women would come on and be the laugh. They would laugh at the guys, the voice guys' jokes, or even morning show host of women. It would always be the guy first. So everything was male driven. And when I came up, I was like, I am not your accent voice. And I will tell you, it's been amazing for me to have all of these powerful men who are the vice presidents and the program directors and the operations managers hire me as their main voice. And yeah. I have male accents now.
Yeah.
I love that.
And it feels,
I love it.
Yeah, watching the world come this far has been incredible. So yeah, for me, the radio stations treat me like gold and I love them.
Well, they do because they know that you're their bread and butter too. Like, I mean, I think that people out in the audience may not understand what an imager and what imaging does for a radio station. It literally sets the tone. It's the mood. It's like a... I don't know. It's like a director of photography on a movie. Like when you watch a movie and it's got, you know, it's gray or it's blue or whatever the tone or the mood is, imaging sets that tone for the radio station. And so it's ultra important because how you feel about that radio station oftentimes has to do with how it sounds and how it comes through the speakers and what
yes.
kind of attitude and mood it has. And so Rachel is a huge part of doing that with hundreds of radio stations across the world. What I, you know, when I walked into that radio station, it's clear to me that how many talented human beings were sitting there in those studios working. Like, I truly respected the audio that was coming out of their mouths and the way that they were going about doing it. What was disappointing to me was the way that the management treated some of those people at times. Now, I'm sure that happens in the Hollywood and all over. I'm not well.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, geez, look at Weinstein. He was sexually assaulting
people.
Oh,
my God. That's the fucking... What is the craziest thing? I don't want you to drop names because I know that these people pay your bread and butter, but you make money doing this. But what is the craziest... Can you remember a story about the craziest radio talent that you ever met? Like somebody who was on air who you were just like, you heard or saw something happen.
Do you see the look?
I think I know who you're going to say.
Okay, so there was a bowling party. I won't mention names.
Oh,
you know, Chrissy, exactly where this is going.
I know where it's going too. Tell it.
So I'm not going to name names. There was a bowling party. We had the Clear Channel. I don't know if it was a holiday party or whatever the party. I think it was the holiday party.
It was a grand holiday party for Clear Channel in the seventh largest market. Yes.
Exactly. And there was... Yes. Stop. But let's make it be known. I freaking love iHeartMedia. I am a huge iHeartMedia supporter. Love them.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it was a party, and I had heard we were hiring a new morning show host for the. It's exactly who you think it is for the radio station. For the radio station. And back then, I was producing, so I would produce all the stuff. So I was going to be working with him closely.
Wow.
So the big boy manager of the station brings in this This guy was on Celebrity Fit Club. He had lost a whole bunch of weight, and he was a well-known comedian. And I had watched him on Celebrity Fit Club, and I'm super young. And I turn, and I look at my friend, and I go, I'm going to sleep with blah, blah, blah tonight.
You turned to me.
Oh, was it? I go, watch me do this. I'm going to go walk over to him, and I'm going to invite him over.
Rachel plugged her mark.
So I literally meet him, and I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I thought this dude was hot on Celebrity Fit Club, and there he is right in front of me. So I pretend the big boss guy isn't there. I walk right up to him, and I'm like, hey, blah, blah, blah. I'm Rachel. I'm like, I used to watch you on Celebrity Fit Club. Want to come bowl in my lane?
So you want to knock your pins? Want to knock my pins down with your balls?
And we saw each other in the hallway.
That is fucking crazy. And I remember, I won't say the name, but I remember who this was.
I was working for that same station.
Yes,
I
was there.
My station. I was selling advertising on it.
I wonder if people are going to be able to figure this out. Like,
Listen, I remember the day that this guy showed up, or that it was announced that he was going to be at our, what they call cluster. And it was kind of a big deal because he was like a minor celebrity at the time. Now he's like a minor celebrity, right? Yeah. No one ever may even know who the fuck that guy is. But
I wish the best for him. I mean, no, absolutely. I surely do.
But I think that guy had kind of a tortured time at our radio.
He
cluster.
Did.
He was there for all of 16 days.
He flamed and then flamed out.
Listen, it's better to, what do they say? It's better to sparkle and fade
shoot
than
for the moon.
Yeah, shoot for the moon.
Sparkle and fade.
He flew too close to the sun. He flew close to the sun.
Is this like Brian last week saying the Pisces over the was in the moon sign?
No, I
of
said
the
that
ocean?
Jupiter was in retraction and Pisces is in the southern sky. You got to understand, is my mind works so quick that sometimes I just say stuff and it makes no fucking sense.
It made sense to Rachel and I. We're both Pisces.
Yeah, we. Well, I looked at Chrissy today. I was like, should we go to the southern, the south?
Southern
is that where we
sky? I think all the moons are in retraction now. It's a fucking crazy, yes. crazy time. When you date a guy, do they get jealous of your work? Because I know you're such a workaholic. Or if people come up to you and they say, have you ever been in a situation where you're dating a guy and then somebody comes up and says, hey, I recognize your voice, or they recognize your voice at a party? Do guys get jealous of that? Or is that, I mean, like, is you're kind of, I don't say,
yes.
I don't want to say famous,
yes.
But yeah. Okay.
It emasculates them. Mm-hmm. And I refuse to downgrade myself so that I can make you feel better. The man that I end up with will be proud of what I do and what I accomplish. And if I make more money than him, so be it. If he makes, I'm not looking. I think one of the things about being independently successful is that I'm not looking for a man with money. I'm not gold digging at all. And when I was young with no money, we talked about this, I was. And I looked, mm-hmm. I would ask a man, hey, what kind of car do you have? Now I'm like, the shittier, the better. Let's go. What is that? A Taurus. A Ford Taurus.
Oh,
really,
my God,
turns
a Ford
on.
Taurus.
Ooh, that takes me back. That takes me back.
It was the most popular car on the road.
My parents had a Ford Taurus station wagon when I was growing up.
Oh, goodness. Mm-hmm. That's really getting into it.
We had a conversion van, like literally a conversion van, like a creepy mobile.
They made Ford Taurus vans?
No, my brother, I think, had a Ford Taurus. We had a station wagon for a long time. It wasn't a Ford Taurus. And
you
then my
pulled
mom
pulled the Taurus with the van. When you went on trips.
When I told that story about me being high on mushrooms and finding that cat in the gas station, my friend, we drove this Ford Taurus and he had one of those like little Hawaiian girls on front that would dance.
The suction cup.
He just thought it was the best. We just thought that was the best. And he put a CD player in the tape cassette player. Like you had to actually put the cassette in the tape player to play the CD.
I had one of those.
To play the CD. Yeah.
Highbrow technology at the time.
And did you also have a bag phone?
Listen to this. So my dad had a bag phone in his convertible Corsica that he had, which is a Chevrolet Corsica.
Oh,
and it was
a
convertible. And my so this is the first car that we were driving around. My dad had
cousins
it forever.
With the Sebring convertible.
That's correct. Very close. Yes. Yeah. And all seven of us drove.
Don't get it
in,
confused with Cabriolet.
All seven of us would drive to school in that damn convertible. And my dad, he would like to put the top down and say January 31st. Like, he just thought that it was all of a sudden spring weather because he was from Chicago. So he put that damn top down and everybody be fucking freezing. And even when the heat was in full blast and the top was up and the windows were rolled up, that thing was fucking freezing because it basically had, like, I don't know, cotton on the top of it. That's what
the
it was made of.
Top.
Yeah, it was a rag,
rag top.
It was the most awful car. But then when I got
it
to drive it,
had paper mache on the top. Tissue paper.
But then you put the top down and everything was good.
In the summer, when you put the top down, the ladies loved it. He had this bag phone. His office got it for him.
Excuse me, can I make a call?
So he puts it in the car.
Let me plug in my bag.
Puts it in the car. It's like 172 pounds. He puts it in the middle of the console, right? And he says, this is for a work and emergencies only. Don't ever use this phone under any circumstance. And, you know, it's like $300 a minute to make a phone call back then, right? Because it was like
$300.
Yes, it was.
Literally calling satellites or something out in space. Like
aliens. We could dial the aliens back in the day.
I think you could only make phone calls when a space shuttle was up there. So, like bouncing off the bottom of the space shuttle and down to a relay station. So my dad had this thing. So when we started driving, or my brother started driving, because my dad didn't let me drive until I was 18 years old.
I can't imagine why.
So when we started driving, you know, he had this bag phone and it was only for emergencies. But then, you know, every once in a blue moon, you picked up the phone and you called your friend. And then I got a beeper pretending I was a drug dealer. Because here's what I would do is the beeper would go off. And then I knew somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody who may have had a connection to really dirty weed at some time. And so I got a beeper at the beeper station. And then every time the beeper would go off, I'd make a phone call from that car. And my dad one month was like, $6,000.
You're like, I had an emergency.
I'm like, Dad, it's my pager. It's an emergency. When someone calls me with 911.
And 911. It was a literal emergency in the pager.
Look at all these 911 texts.
And when my dad found the growing weed down in the basement, he brought it up during dinner time. And he said to me and my brothers, he looked at us and he said, I've pieced it all together now with the pager and the phone calls. Who's got the horticultural exhibit going on downstairs in the basement? And Kevin and I looked at each other. And we were
he does.
Exactly. That was it. We crossed fingers and was like, he does. This asshole right here. Your videos are amazing. Yeah, I know you only have two out, and I just think they're hilarious. They're so
well produced,
and I see that there's a lot of people already. I mean, for a new channel, a lot of people are already viewing it. What's the feedback you've gotten so far, and what can we expect next?
Okay, so it's been... hilariously mixed in that when you go on video and you have a strong personality like me and you look a certain way, act a certain way, cook a certain way, you know, people are going to attack. And so I would say 90% of the people love it. They're like, oh my God, you know, this is great. I've never seen a woman be funny and cook at the same time. Because it's just very, I didn't even know I was being unique because I'm just being myself.
Sure.
It's fantastic.
You
know? It's great. Fantastic. Yeah.
My favorite thing to do is laugh and also eat. So I figured I could do both of them at the same time, you know?
Yes.
And so it's been great. But I've also had men, you know, commenting on the size of my breasts. When I'm not even wearing anything revealing at all, but men just will, and even women will say it. And I'm like, you know what? Get a life.
Yeah,
but
that's go fuck yourself.
Good for them. Thanks for watching.
Yeah.
And then also recently, I was minding my own business and I got a Facebook message and it was from the general manager of a TV station.
This is fucking insane.
So I just got picked up for the fall season to do my show once a week.
Wow. So are they are they going to take the videos and are they going to broadcast them? Or do you actually have to go and record them So in a studio.
That was my question.
Yeah.
So they want my format just as I'm doing it. And they loved, I said, you know, my show is only 5 minutes, right? They go, that's one of the things we loved. Because right now, I mean, like people just, this, when you're listening to a podcast, for me, I listen to your podcast, which
Thank
is
you.
Hilarious that I'm on your podcast
sure.
now. But I listen to it when I'm doing hair and makeup.
Yep.
You know, I'm this girl who's got really long, you know, hair extensions and I love a lot of makeup. So my hair and makeup is a process, right?
Yeah.
So when I listen to a podcast, I become immersed in it and I can listen for hours. But when you're watching a show and you have to be there and watch it, the time span, the attention span is short. Five
it's
minutes
true.
And you're done.
It's true. Now that I have a son, and I know now that I'm going to have two kids, like the most precious time in the world to me is time with my wife alone. But the second most precious time for me is when I actually can watch a television show uninterrupted. I used to be able to pop on a television show whenever I had a few minutes and I would just sit and watch it and I'd get engrossed in it. And now it's true that if I'm watching
90 Day Fiancé.
You know you're going to love it, Hoda. Once you start watching it, you're not going to be able to get away from it. I guarantee.
That's what I'm scared of.
Yeah.
I've also never seen it.
Yeah. You've never seen
but
it?
Until you guys explained. But I knew what it was about, but I didn't know that.
You have to watch this television
show. It was a trial visa, and Chrissy's like, wah, wah, if you don't get married. Oh, I gotta watch the show. Well, okay, let's all watch it and talk about it next time.
Absolutely. Yes. So, if you don't get the visa, then... So I loaded that up just for you, Chrissy. I love the show. So this guy in where are they located? Where's the station?
It's in a market like in South Georgia, which is so funny.
That's perfect.
I knew
That's
it.
Why I was on in the gas station.
I knew it. It's because you're in this fucking
it's
gas
perfect.
Station. People are
I
listening
love
to
you.
You. They're listening to you on this religious television station, the religious radio station, and they're falling in love with you. And little do they know that your television show is going to be nothing like what they're hearing on that religious station. What about? I mean, it's a little bit irreverent. Are they okay with that? They're going to be good with that?
They said change nothing. Like not your clothes, not the way I speak, not how long. They just, all I have to do is get an intro and outro. And I couldn't believe, because this man is talking to me with a heavy Southern accent. And I'm like, you know what? They're ready for me. They
wow.
are ready.
I am.
Change is coming.
I
it
am
is.
So happy for you. That's
I
incredible.
Know. Congratulations,
just after a few.
Rachel.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
You deserve it.
So now let's remember this as we're getting into this. Let's remember that when we go to YouTube and we type in C Rachel Cook, we got to not put spaces in it. SEERACHELCOOK. All together.
And then ribeye or carbonara.
Yeah. Or carbonara or ribeye. That's right.
Yeah.
Because if you go the other direction, you could end up on a whole other C. Rachel Cook. And I'm not saying it's bad, but you'll never get to see our Rachel. Or you can go to the show notes on tcbpodcast.com. That's tcbpodcast.com. If you go to the show notes for this episode or episode number 10, there's plenty of links on there. How do they find you on Instagram again? What's your Instagram?
C. Rachel Cook.
C. Rachel Cook. So at C. Rachel Cook.
Yep.
I love the show.
And Facebook too.
Yeah,
R-A-C-H-E-L. R-A-C-H-E-L. R-A-C-H-E-L.
Thank you,
Chris. I love the show so far. I think it's just incredible. And I say congratulations to you, my friend, on all of your success.
You were
thank
meant,
you. And congratulations.
You were meant for video.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. And congratulations to you guys on Estonia. And they do speak Estonian.
They do speak Estonian. That's incredible. So I'll say hello to a few other countries that are out there. Hong Kong. We have listeners in Hong
no
Kong.
Way.
We have listeners in Vietnam. And we have quite a few listeners in Australia. So I'll say hello to all of those folks. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in and subscribing. We really appreciate it. It's really nice to be noticed. That's all I got to say. It feels good.
We love you.
And fuck you to all the haters.
This show's hilarious.
Well, thank you. Even your dad thinks so. Hi, Mr. McGrath.
Even my dad thinks so.
Call me. I love you.
We're just shooting the shit.
Yeah, we're just shooting the shit. It's just two best friends. Adding to the insanity. That's
Three
all I got to say.
Three best friends when we have Rachel.
TCBpodcast.com is where you go to find all of the information. So go there, listen to all the episodes at the commercial break on IG. You can like us on Facebook. We appreciate Rachel McGrath spending some time. See Rachel Cook. I love you, Rachel. Thanks for coming on again. And this will be a reoccurring thing. So when you have some time, if you'll come on, you know, next month, I'd love it.
I should be so lucky.
Oh, you're invited.
Oh, good. good. Thank you for having me.
Consider the invitation. Good. I'm going to slide into your whisper later on. And
I'm sliding into the mumble.
Oh, my God.
You know, that's exactly why I'm asking these questions. It's just so I can slide into your mumble later. Or maybe I'll tell one of my single brothers and they can figure the code out.
I can't wait. I really can't.
But no long hair and no dirt. I'm sorry. We're just too well groomed.
Smell like non-dirt. That's the case.
I love you, Hobie. And so to all the listeners all around the world, we say thank you for tuning into the commercial break. We will see you next week.
Whee!
Email us at thecommercialbee@gmail.com. Find us and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at The Commercial Break. New episodes drop every Wednesday. We can be found on Spotify, iHeartMedia, Apple, Google, and all major podcast providers. The Commercial Break is a Great Middleweight production, written and produced by Brian Green, co-hosted by Chrissy Hoadley.